Coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Welcome back. Hour two. We're live on the press box here at KeyBank Center, site of the 2026 NHL Draft. I'm Brian Colziel, TJ Luckman producing, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, all up here on the press box with me. Joe Kelly is down on the floor. We're going to check in with him in just one moment. Paul Hamilton's out in Orchard Park where the Sabres brass are, and we're going to get in Paul here in about 5 minutes. But just to quickly reset, we are through six picks so far. The first two, Brayton, not much of a surprise there. Gavin McKenna, actually maybe the first three even. Ivar Stenberg and then Caleb Malhotra. Then it got to pick four, and that's where Buffalo took the first defenseman off the board, but maybe not the one everybody thought.
Yeah, no, Daxon Rudolph goes off the board to the Sabres. Right shot defenseman, 6 foot three, 205 pounds. Again, a defenseman who moves around well and can score goals, and I think that's the bigger thing of where they kind of differentiates from Carrolls, from Verhoeve, from Schmitz, from Chase Reed, is Daxon Rudolph scores. So he goes to Buffalo at four. Then at five, Albert Schmitz from Latvia, who was the youngest player to play at the Olympics this past year, he goes to the Rangers at five. And then recently off the board is Carson Carrolls, sixth overall, not being able to be here at the NHL draft, by the way. He's home working on his farm in Manitoba. So they're having a little bit of a party out there for him, as now he goes to Calgary at sixth overall, and Seattle is on the board right now with pick number seven.
All right, so when Seattle gets the pick, we'll get you there. Let's go down to the floor here at KeyBank Center. Our Joe Kelly is roaming around. Joe, what's it like down there?
Oh, we're roaming around. I've had to dodge the spider cam on the ceiling a couple times here. It's moving quick, so keeping my head on a swivel there. But it's been pretty cool down here. You know, Justin Bieber walking around, you know, before he went on. So it was a pretty interesting moment. But it's been quite a time down here to start the NHL draft. A lot of buzz, a lot of excitement from the crowd. And sure, you guys are hearing it up there, but it's pretty loud down here.
Yeah, let's get Seattle's pick quickly, then we'll get back to Joe. We can pick up the feed now on the Kraken at pick seven. All right, I don't think we have the feed for Seattle. Chase Reed, though, did just go. Okay, so there it is, Brayton, the third defenseman now. Chase Reed to Seattle. Fourth defenseman.
Yeah, it's been a run of defensemen here, and it is a stronger defensive class here in this draft where, you know, it's not entirely unexpected that these guys are going all in order right now. 6'2", 194 pounds, a right shot defenseman out of the U.S., a Michigan-born player, was playing in the Sioux Greyhounds in the OHL this past year, 48 points in just 45 games. If it hadn't have been for a wrist injury, he would have been able to continue playing throughout his draft year. He did play at the World Juniors, though, this year with Team USA and was able to put up a pair of goals and a pair of assists in five games for 4 points. But again, maybe the cleanest skater in this entire draft class, most fluid skater, really, really good handling the puck. Doesn't have the greatest of shots, and you know, but he still is super skilled with the puck on his stick, and he can motor all around the ice. Seattle really, really wins with this pick, as Chase Reed, who some even call him the best prospect, even better than McKenna, he falls to number seven to Seattle.
Yeah, all right, so Reed to Seattle, and Winnipeg is up next at eight. All right, Joe back down on the floor. Joe, I know you're going to get a chance to speak with Daxon Rudolph and Gavin McKenna and some of the others here coming up shortly here, but what are you seeing with some of the reactions of the families and the players as they get selected? I think that's got to be a pretty cool moment for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pure jubilation, elation, whatever you want to call it. It's excitement. It's cool to see that in person because, you know, you see it on TV and all that normally, and just for the viewers, like, it's a cool moment, and seeing it up close and personal, and there's real moments here. Like, Justin Bieber is one thing, sure, it got everyone excited, but watching the families just kind of embrace and watch dreams come true in a sense, right? Like, it's a pretty cool thing down here.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joe, so I know are we going to hear from McKenna first? Are they doing it in order in terms of making him available to you down there and the other media?
Yes. So Gavin McKenna he 5 minutes ago sat down with the media. He's still taking questions as we speak. The others have yet to sit down, but we will hear from Dax and Rudolph, of course. I'll get that over to you guys as soon as he's up there, and McKenna as well. So you'll be hearing from both of those players. And, just in a little while here, hopefully. They're moving pretty quick, so.
Okay, great. All right, thanks, Joe. We'll check in with you in a little bit.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yep. All right, Joe Calley down on the floor of the draft. Obviously, the teams are not on the floor anymore in this new change that have gone to the decentralized draft. And that means all the Sabres brass are out in Orchard Park. And that's where our Paul Hamilton is standing by. Paul is there. And, of course, Jarmo Kekalainen and all the Sabres scouting and front office staff are there. Paul, good evening. Great to hear from you. Can you set the scene for what is happening out in Orchard Park?
Many people are down here yet. I think some of them went to the arena first, actually quite a few of them. A very light turnout so far here down at the arena, but it's, you know, we'll get to talk to Jarmo Kekalainen after the first round is over, and, you know, see what he has to say, and hear more about Dax and Rudolph and their 20th pick, should they make that pick.
That's right. Right. As you said, there could be movement. Paul, what do you make of the player here as you start to learn a little bit more about Rudolph?
Well, here's a guy who was over a point a game at Prince Albert in junior hockey and is going to play for one of the best programs he can possibly play for in college hockey at Denver. So he has a pretty good chance to win a national championship there. They do that quite a bit. And it's a great program for him to go to. How long he's there, we don't know. Does he play a year there? Does he play two? And, you know, we're getting into what we've been talking about. It's a nice pick and all that, but it's not what the Sabres need. They need guys now. And, you know, if the trade's not there, it's not there. You know, you can't make a trade that's not there. And, you know, Jarmo Kekalainen, I think if a useful trade was there for the taking, he would have taken it. And if it was just, there's just no way, he probably said to himself, whatever it is, there's just no way we can accept this trade for the fourth overall pick, so we have to make the pick. But unfortunately, you're talking about a guy that's two, three, who knows, years away. You know, we can use the example of Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power, number one overall picks. It took them both like 4 years to even get near the type of potential that everybody was expecting as the first overall pick. In Dahlin's case, it was when Don Granato decided he was going to talk up Dahlin every single moment of the day and really give him some confidence, and he did. And in Power's case, this past year, he turned into the Owen Power that everybody expected. You know, Victor Hedman, Erik Karlsson, guys that, you know, took 3-4 years to become what they needed to become. And, you know, how long does it take Dax and Rudolph? Nobody knows. On a rare occasion, there's a guy that can play and play really well. Schaefer just did it, but, you know, he's the number one overall pick. Quinn Hughes did it. Makar did it. But those are special type of players. It's very rare. So the Sabres need players now because they are quite a bit worse today than they were at the end of the season. With Tuck and Byram gone, but there's plenty of time to get back to where they were and improve the team with the ammunition that he's got. And who knows? I mean, you can always trade Dax and Rudolph. I mean, you still may be negotiating trade. Rudolph is still the fourth overall pick, and maybe, you know, there's a trade down the line that he would be involved in. So just because they didn't trade him right before they drafted today doesn't mean there isn't going to be a trade, but if there isn't a trade, the Buffalo Sabres are a team that will be awfully lucky to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. Pick 8 has just been selected here at KeyBank Center. Viggo Bjork, center, going to Winnipeg. That's at 8. 9 is San Jose. Paul Hamilton joining us live from Orchard Park, as, of course, we're broadcasting here from the press box at KeyBank Center, the site of the 2026 NHL Draft. Paul will get a chance to talk to Jarmo Kekalainen as soon as the Sabres are done for the evening, although we obviously don't know when that will be. Paul, with Winnipeg just selecting, we know one of the names that has been linked and talked about, Connor Hellebuyck, the Sabres goaltending
situation going into this year as of this moment, Paul, would still be probably a rotation of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Alex Lyon. And if somebody rises up and takes more playing time from the other, well, then so be it. But I guess where are you at in terms of maybe the need to improve from the combination of Luukkonen and Lyon? Or is there one, in your opinion, that there should be?
Don't let me forget to talk about this, but since you mentioned Bork, I wanted to get to that with Brayton. Did you at all feel sure. that the Sabres might take him at fourth overall? Because many people thought they would.
Yeah, I thought there was maybe the outlying chance that Viggo Bjork would have been the pick, given the fact that, you know, they probably would need another forward prospect to kind of fill out their group and everything like that. Certainly, I think it was whatever they felt was the best player available. And, I mean, at that point, I feel like that they probably felt Daxon Rudolph had a higher upside or whatnot than Viggo Bjork did. I like Viggo Bjork. He's, as I made mention earlier in this broadcast, he's sort of a clone of Zach Benson, where he's just an energizer bunny. He goes everywhere, does everything, is active with his stick. He's relentless on pucks. And he's got good talent as well. So, yeah, I mean, Paul, I was a little surprised that maybe he wasn't the pick and that Viggo Bjork fell this far down the board. But, yeah, Daxon Rudolph, to me, that's the more surprising one, is him being the fourth overall pick rather than Viggo Bjork maybe falling a little bit.
Yeah, and
Paul, just a quick thought
talent.
On yeah.
Getting to Hellebuck, first, I definitely would not ever trade the fourth overall pick for a goaltender, and I don't care. You insert the name. I don't care who it is. So I would not have been in on that if it would have taken the fourth overall pick to get a guy who is going to put $8.5 million on your salary cap, a guy that is going to win a lot of awards in the regular season, a guy that has never done anything at all in the playoffs but has won a gold medal, basically stole a gold medal for Team USA. And just because he hasn't done anything in the playoffs yet doesn't mean he never will. Bobrovsky is a great example of that, where he did the same thing that Hellebuck was doing. He was awful, great in the regular season, awful in the playoffs, until he wasn't. Then all of a sudden, he started playing in the playoffs like he did in the regular season and won two Stanley Cups. So it can change. And if you can get better at any position, but think about it. Jarmo Kekalainen has said twice now that they will probably come back with the three goaltenders they have. Not definitely, but that's what the plan is right now. But he always says if you can get better at any position, you do it. But what is the cost?
Right.
And as I said, putting 8.5 on your salary cap with a goaltender is a tough task to do. And now that the fourth pick has been made, I don't even know if you could make the trade if Winnipeg would go for it. So I just feel goaltender is not a major concern for this team. It can be maybe a little bit of a concern, but I don't think their goaltending is as bad as many people make it out to be. So I would be looking to spend that money other places like forward before I would goaltending.
And, Paul, obviously pick 20 is still there. That could be a part still of a Hellebuck trade, but my guess would be Winnipeg would want more than pick 20. And then, obviously, then you have to decide what else you're willing to part with.
And you're just looking at, they probably want a goalie. So you're looking at, okay, pick 20 and Luukkonen and.
Correct.
And, you know, we probably know two parts of the puzzle, but there are going to be quite a few more than two parts of the puzzle if that indeed would be something that they're going to do.
Paul Hamilton with us live at Orchard Park as the Sharks are about to make their selection at pick number 9. Gary Bettman stepping to the podium here. This will be the Sharks' second selection so far here tonight. They were already on the clock earlier at pick 2. Ivar Stenberg, the left winger, able to make that selection. And now we will get another pick here. Announced Layla Edwards, of course, the gold medal winning player from the U.S. women's hockey team, out to make her second go at it here for the night. Let's see what she has to say here. She's asking the crowd if there's any Sharks fans in the crowd. All right, they found one up on the Jumbotron.
Fair, you got a couple.
They did get a couple here.
There was one circulating on social media that was wearing a Carey Price Sharks jersey.
Yes.
Which is phenomenal.
Wow.
All right, Keegan Verhoff going to San Jose
here at pick 9. Their second selection of the night so far. Brayton, we've got a quick thought on this pick here.
Yeah, Verhoef was a guy who I think a lot of people thought he could have been potentially the a top pick in this year's draft as well, maybe top five. He goes from the Western Hockey League and plays at North Dakota this past year, and I think expectations were sky high for him to do great things in college. It didn't necessarily pan out, but not for the bad. It was just more so that he kind of became more so a support defenseman than rather kind of standing out amongst everyone else. He was passing a lot. He did, when he did finally shoot, he was scoring. You know, really good, solid two-way guy, another right shot defenseman that's available at the top of this group. And he was a guy that I think it really was just the fact that the expectations, I think, were so high that when he didn't meet them and then everybody else was like, oh, man, this guy's doing really well, everyone's just thinking, oh, well, Keaton Verhoef didn't really do anything, so why should he go higher than a guy that really did a lot in his draft year? I think it's kind of unfair for a lot of these guys that have that happen to them, but Keaton Verhoef is still a really good player, and I think this is a perfect pick for the Sharks.
All right, so the Sharks have taken two players here in the first nine. Nashville is up next. Paul,
oh, go ahead. I just want to add something real quick. Yep. More to the trade with Pavel Dorofeev.
Sure.
It is including a long-term extension coming for him with the Rangers. 7 years, approximately $11 million per year for Dorofeev.
Whoa.
Yes.
That
Rangers spending some, I don't know, if Paul, is that considered stupid money in your eyes, the $11 million per year for Pavel Dorofeev?
Yeah, we're at that time, although we're doing it before July 1st. I always used to say after July 1st. And then the question is, to kick around, are the Golden Knights clearing money for Larkin?
Yep.
Oh, come on, Paul. Why you got to do that to me?
It's a fair question.
Hamilton here to ruin my day.
All right, Paul. Well, that leads me to where I wanted to go with you next. Because there's two former people of the Sabres organization involved here, and both going to Boston. Let's start with J.J. Paterka. Two first-round draft picks. The Bruins send to Utah. One in 26, one in 28. The 28 one is top 10 protected conditional. But how about Paterka going back here now to the Atlantic Division? He'll be a member of the Bruins.
Kevin Adams must not have started his job with the Bruins yet because he despises J.J. Paterka. And I think he would have warned them, first of all, you don't give up one first-round pick. It's like, this is insane. Are you people out of your minds? Have you ever looked at number one, film of this guy play? Or number two, the stats, the numbers? Have you looked at any of this stuff? What in the world are you looking at? I mean, I've been saying, and I still believe it, that trade of Paterka to not only acquire him, but pay him $7.7 million and let go, when he's right, a good defenseman, a very good defenseman in Kesselring, and Josh Doan, who, by the way, they both scored 25 goals this year, and Doan at four more points, and Doan does everything better than J.J. Paterka, and I mean everything. I don't care if Paterka scores 35 and Doan scores 20. Doan is by far the better player, by far. So you've made the worst trade probably in franchise history, and you get away with it. You convince the Boston Bruins to give you two first-round picks for J.J. Paterka? That is absolutely insane. I wouldn't give two seventh-round picks for J.J. Paterka. Are you kidding me? I mean, good for Utah. You got from under, just like, you know, Colorado realized pretty quick they made a mistake when they trade Bo Byron to Buffalo for Casey Mittelstadt, and Casey Mittelstadt is a bust as a first-round pick. I mean, he's an okay NHL player, but not for the first-round pick. Who took him on? The Boston Bruins. What are you people doing in Boston? Wow. I mean, Casey Mittelstadt than J.J. Paterka, but still, what are you people doing there?
Yeah, well, you mentioned it, Paul. Kevin Adams, Elliot Friedman reporting, will join the Bruins front office staff. Adams obviously put together the roster, or 99% of it, that the Sabres succeeded with so well in the second half of this past season and, of course, into the postseason. Now, we know Jarmo Kekalainen made a few additions, but I thought Adams would get another chance after what happened here with how the Sabres, essentially his roster, did turn it around. What do you think of Boston hiring him?
Well, he didn't bring Thompson and Dahlin in, but he did sign them to long-term contracts. And locked. Yeah. I mean, right now, Thompson's a steal. Now, at the time, a lot of people were saying, oh, that's too much for Tage Thompson. Now it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, you got Robertson asking for $15 million. Thompson probably be asking for that too right now if he had the opportunity. So he did sign them to long-term contracts, locking them into Buffalo, which is something. But he was, you know, their two best players he didn't get, but he got everybody else pretty much. And, you know, did a good job with that. And then we've always said that. He made some good moves. There's no question about that. But I just don't think, well, I know that the players did not have any faith that he could get the job done and get them over the top and make the moves necessary. Plus, he was just too, you know, he had rabbit ears. He was just too much into, oh, what's everybody saying? Oh, my God, what's everybody saying? Oh, you know, what are they going to think? Who's the leak in our organization? And he would be obsessed with that stuff. And Jarmo Kekäläinen is the exact opposite. He couldn't care less what you, me, or anybody else says. It does not matter to him whatsoever. He's got a job to do. He believes in what he's doing, and what we say is irrelevant, and it should be. And it was not irrelevant to Kevin Adams, and I think it brought him down.
Yeah. Paul Wyatt Cullen, pick 10 to Nashville, just being introduced. In fact, Luke Bryan, big Nashville fan,
of course,
celebrity singer, here making the introductions.
Wouldn't he be a little busy with Taste of Country?
He should be a Taste of Country. Paul, why are you
is
not
he,
a Taste of Country
to
tonight?
I don't know.
Well, I've been there before, but
yes.
Don't forget, he's the last act. He's not on stage for a while. I would say he's probably
right.
Going to hit the stage around 10
o'clock. Don't you guys know how
or,
best music concerts work?
Yeah.
Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, I don't.
He's a long ways. And he could crawl on his hands and knees and be on time to get there for when he – it's very close to the arena where he's going. So, yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be there in plenty of time.
Yeah. By the way, I'll make
hey,
a note.
Way,
Wyatt Cullen, son of longtime former NHLer Matt Cullen, played over 1,500 games in the NHL. Matt Cullen only retired, I think, like 4 years ago, too.
Yeah.
So his son is now drafted by the Predators.
Now, Brian, it's too bad school's over.
All right, Paul.
Because you would have been,
go ahead.
You would have been the king of Sweet Home had your students found out that you had dinner with Justin Bieber, because I know you probably did. So you and Bieber, I'm sure, went to one of the finest restaurants in town and, you know, cut up a steak or whatever together. And you would have been like the star of Sweet Home. But school's over. So you don't have any students right now. You have to wait till next year.
I know. Well, I'll tell him I was singing with Luke Bryan backstage a little as well. They'll be impressed. No, but you're right. Bieber was here to introduce the Leafs pick of McKenna, and now another music star up here on the stage. Well, Paul, you're always a star, whether school is in session or not, so I appreciate you joining us, and we'll check it back in with you in a little bit from Orchard Park. Obviously, if the Sabres make any sort of trade or anything, we'll bring you right in immediately.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton in Orchard Park. We heard from Joe Calley down on the floor. Up here on the press box, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Brian Colziel. All right. I know you guys have been monitoring social media. Lots of stuff going on here. Brayton's been keeping us up on the trades. The Blues at pick 11 are up. Zach, though, we've had some of these trades and that incredible amount of money that the Rangers are going to pay Dorofeev. That does not seem like smart budget decision. I'm not saying anything about him as a player. In terms of what I pencil him in and think, like, where does he fit salary-wise,
right.
That doesn't seem like it matches.
No, but, I mean, Paul says it, and we...
That's the number around
it,
right?
And we all keep hearing it, too. The cap is going up. We're definitely out of that COVID bit for the NHL, right, where the cap kind of suddenly stopped going up. I mean, they kind of burned the Toronto Maple Leafs and their run there. Now we're coming out of it. Dorofeev had a lot of important goals for Vegas as well, so I could see a team like the Rangers that maybe... you know, maybe being in the New York market or just ultimately recently being a very good team wants to try to jumpstart their rebuild or retool as fast as possible. I do like Dorofeev a lot as a player, but yeah, I mean, seven years, $11 million. Pierre LeBrun also, by the way, reporting that along with Elliot Friedman. I don't think we've seen it official from the New York Rangers, but that's a big move now. And now I'm sort of waiting to see if we get any more moves here. We're getting out of the top 10. I mean, that's going to be interesting now, too. I go back to David Pagnotta right before the draft started that the Dallas Stars are actively trying to trade Jason Robertson at this point. Now, though, you kind of lost all of the really attractive draft pick assets to this year's draft. Now it becomes, I think, where the Sabres really are an attractive destination. They've got a lot of prospects. And I mentioned right after they took Dax and Rudolph, Roddy Mirka. They now have that plethora of young defensive talent. And by the way, two drafts in a row, they take the first defenseman off the board as well. So, I mean, there's something to that as well. We know the prospects or even just young players they have to this point. I am really, really interested to see if we get any rumblings now that we are getting out of the top 10.
And they're both right shot defensemen too, Mirka right. And Daxon Rudolph. So, and I just think about the two prospects and how, in my mind, I'm kind of trying to process how they compare. And I'm not trying to say this just because, you know, Daxon Rudolph was a higher pick than Radim Mirka, but at this point I do believe that Rudolph probably would be seen as the better of the two prospects between him and Mirka, just solely because of the fact that Rudolph is a very fluid skater, can score goals, and has a little more offensive upside, whereas Mirka is just that big, towering presence, skates well for his size, has good reach with his stick, but just that offensive element with Mirka isn't necessarily entirely there. So, to your point, just kind of adding in, like, okay, if you're including a Mirka in a trade, is he more valuable than a Rudolph? Do they see that as, you know, however they want to view it, another team, I should say, however they want to view it when it comes to a potential trade, looking at those two prospects, it's like, I don't know.
I want to get into Yarmo's mindset. It should also be mentioned.
Don't we all?
He did trade Roddy Mirka. The trade was just denied by the player.
Yes.
That's right.
And
the Blues, and by the way, who are ironically up at this moment.
Right.
Colton Parayko said no to that trade.
Yeah. And then St. Louis seemed to shut the door on both Parayko and Thomas this offseason. But how much do you really buy it?
I buy it.
You buy it quite a bit. I refuse to.
I buy it
to.
Fairly often, actually.
I refuse to with Robert Thomas.
Yeah, I'm actually getting stock in the fact that I don't think Robert Thomas is available. We're just going to wait here for this announcement.
Tynan Lawrence is the pick.
Tynan Lawrence is the pick there for St. Louis. But just to wrap things up on this, the kid in Section 301 that presses the trade alert, we'll get a hero send-off if the Sabres trade pick 20. It was not expected that they would use both picks this first round. And we are about, what, 9 picks away now from seeing if the Sabres do end up actually using both of the first-round selections this evening.
Yeah, by the way, the Blues have 4 first-round selections.
They do?
This is the
oh,
first
my God,
of their
that's right.
fourth pick. The first of their 4 picks. So, Tynan Lawrence, really good skilled player. Guy who started the year injured, played in the USHL, dominated, and I don't know who it was or what the decision and rationale was. I think it was more so to get him, you know, some better competition. He ends up going to Boston University. It goes okay to start. Then he struggles to really kind of adapt to the collegiate game. It got a little better for him towards the end of the year, but he is a very high-paced, highly skilled, he can dangle in a phone booth type of player. You know, the player he kind of reminds me of coming out of his draft year? It's Casey Mittelstadt. He's a very similar style of play to Casey Mittelstadt. He kind of skates and moves around the ice similar to Casey Mittelstadt. I think there's talent there. You just kind of hope that he doesn't pan out to be the NHL version of Casey Mittelstadt, where Mittelstadt was okay, he was fine, but he never reached that point where I think a lot of people thought he was going to be the next great prospect NHL sort of player.
All right, so the Devils are on the clock. And again, Buffalo still to pick here, upcoming at 20th overall. Joe Calley down on the floor. Paul Hamilton out at One Bills Drive, where the Sabres draft headquarters are being staged there. And, of course, up in the booth, Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. I'm Brian Colziel. Our coverage of the NHL draft on WGR brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Back with more live at KeyBank Center, where the 2026 NHL Draft is continuing on here. Round one, night one on WGR.
The NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Welcome back to KeyBank Center, site of the 2026 NHL Draft. Continuing coverage continuing here on WGR. It's brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. All right, our Joe Calley just got a chance to catch up with the newest Buffalo Sabre. So we'll have that interview coming up here in just a little bit, as the Sabres at pick four take Daxon Rudolph, defenseman, the first of four D in a row to go at pick 4, 5, 6, 7. Rudolph, Smits, Carrolls, and Reed in that order. Now on the clock are the New York Islanders. During the break, we did get one pick in. That was from the Devils. Alexander Command, the center, going at that choice. So we'll get Brayton's take coming up on that here, coming up in just a moment. So it's the Islanders at 13, the Blue Jackets at 14, and then St. Louis, as Brayton said, a busy night for them. They have four picks. They'll get it on the board again. Brayton, what do you make of the Devils' selection there? Pick 12. They go with a center.
Yes. Alexander Command is the pick. 6'1", 187 pounds out of Sweden. He's a guy that really always just finds himself in and around the puck. He goes to the net to get the puck on his stick. He goes to the corners. He's willing to just go anywhere to go after the puck and make a play. Good stick handler. He's got a willingness to battle. Good speed, good burst. It'll be interesting to see where his development takes him next, just because he got very brief action in the Swedish Hockey League and really was limited, so not much really to kind of take away from that. But next year, he probably will make that jump to the Swedish Hockey League, the men's top level. And from there, you know, how well can he adjust to the men's game, and can he, you know, maintain that style of play against a much tougher competition than his peers that he played at the junior level? And that's the thing with a lot of these prospects, too. It's just like they play, like a lot of them, especially the later you get in the first round and into the later rounds, too. A lot of them are more so playing against their competition, their own level of competition, so their age group. And the big question is always, well, how can you handle, you know, playing against men? How can you handle playing in a bigger, stronger, more physical league? And a lot of these guys, there's always a question, and Alex Command is a guy that I think can probably handle that. So, you know, I had him, where did I have him? I had him going 15th overall to St. Louis, so not too far off from where he actually went to number 12, so... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Real quick, because we've been talking about the Pavel Dorofeyev extension that is coming. Kevin Weeks tweeting out just a couple of minutes ago that in talking with Blue Jackets forward Kirill Merchenko, which is a target that I know a lot of Sabres fans have been keeping an eye on, his camp is saying that they're using that Dorofeyev contract, that 7 years, $11 million, as a comp for him. So, you know, Brian, to your point, you know, you look at that number and you wonder, is this where we're going? I think the answer is yes. Absolutely, they are heading that way. Yep.
Which, not to go back on what is now, you know, past history, Alex Tuck's 10.5, for those that were in the argument of wanting to keep Tuck, maybe the 10.5 in the end is not going to look that bad after all.
I think the issue there, and this is my personal opinion, I don't have any inside in this, is just I think it was the years. I think they maybe would have been happy to pay him $11, $12 million if he would have taken a four-year deal. Because Tuck, I think, spoke today with the Washington media and mentioned that eight-year deal was important to him. That sign and trade, or ultimately trade and sign, it was important for him to get that eighth year. I think that maybe is where the Sabres were having the issue. I mean, Merchenko is 25 years old. Pavel Dorofeyev, 25 years old. Alex Tuck, 30 years old. And so I think that's maybe where the issue comes. And where Washington also, you know, signs him at 10.5.
Yeah. Well, the Islanders are about to make their selection here at pick 13. We know last year, Derek, they pretty much nailed it at pick one with Matthew Schaefer. He had a decent season.
Yeah, only a Calder, you know, something like that. But
speaking of Schaefer, by the way, he's the one that's going to be the one that announces the pick here in a few seconds. Yeah, he was amazing this year for New York.
Yeah, a franchise changer and kind of altered the Islanders' destiny here. From where they were, then they win the lottery, and then Schaefer just becoming the quality prospect that he was. That was one of the biggest things that helped the Islanders suddenly turn into, it is not all of a sudden a stretch of the imagination that the Islanders can be competitive in the next couple of years. They almost make the playoffs his first year, and he is the biggest cause for that. There's still a lot of work for the Islanders to do. They still have a lot of questions to answer, and it's good, though, to have a building block like Matthew Schaefer.
Schaefer, by the way, the first player to come up and actually thank the Sabres organization and the fans of Buffalo, he said, for hosting such a nice draft.
I don't need the decorum from every team anymore. I don't need Tim Murray, you know, Buffalo selects Jack Eichel, but I don't need everyone going, oh, we want to thank the Sabres organization. Congrats to the Hurricanes for winning the Cup. Like, we don't need all that pomp and circumstance. Keep it fun, keep it cool, keep it casual.
That's the only positive thing about this decentralized format is you're not getting the executives and everybody else just being like, oh, well, we want to say hi, thank you, congratulations.
Lanny McDonald did it for the Flames. It was brief, but that was pretty much the only that we've had so far.
And that's fine.
Yeah. I'll forgive him with the mustache.
Yes. Now, we do have the pick for the Islanders. And another defenseman, Brayton.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gustafson is going
to be. Malte.
Yes,
6'4", 203 pounds, very solid, complete two-way defenseman, more of a defensive style of defenseman. He's got good range, good skating ability for a defenseman of his size. He's not going to wow you on the score sheet or anything like that, but just a solid overall defensive player at both ends of the ice. Can skate, can do everything like that. He's very mature for his age. A good pick here.
He's posing with Schaefer right now. So some of the qualities that Schaefer has, you could say maybe here with Gustafson.
It could be. I mean, they're both left shot defensemen though. So I mean, unless Schaefer goes to the right side and could, he probably could though.
I'm not saying pairing. I'm saying similar skill sets, I guess.
Sure.
Malte
Gustafson is definitely more so a defensive defender than Schaefer, where Schaefer will just skate circles around everyone every shift he steps on the ice.
Yeah. All right, so Columbus is up at 14, and the Blue Jackets today. Some rumors, Zach, about Zach Werenski. That would be an interesting player if he were to be moved. I'm not saying it happens here, but in general, when I think of, okay, let's rank Blue Jackets, I'm starting with him.
Maybe all time?
Could be.
I think it's the thing. I mean, coming off a Norris Trophy winning season, and I mean, almost Columbus's season crashes and burns, but they kind of are pulling a Buffalo Sabres after the Buffalo Sabres, where they got really hot with a new coach, and you know, for the Sabres is a new GM, they went for it. The Werenski stuff is going to be really fun to keep an eye on, maybe even tonight, this weekend, or going forward. The report was that Werenski, his camp, were going to meet with Columbus after the draft. Then today, the reports were, well, now Columbus is listening to calls. I think that this is always going to be the shame with Columbus. They are just unable to keep these players long-term. Werenski still has 2 years left on his deal, which does make him a very interesting trade conversation for almost any team in the National Hockey League. But Columbus may be forced to trade him ahead of that just because they kind of know he's not going to come back, and they know they can get a haul for him. I don't know if it's going to be tonight. I would imagine not, because they maybe have had to, you know, turn their attention to it now. But it is something that it has flipped as quickly, where we're going to have a meeting, you know, after the draft. All right, now we're listening to phone calls as it is today. I wonder, you know, if teams like Toronto might be out there. We talked about it at the first overall pick when they take McKenna. The fact that they had the first overall pick maybe sort of changed just, you know, ultimately the entire outlook of their offseason really the next couple of years because they had that pick. I think for Buffalo, it may not make sense at this point. They do seem to have a plethora of that talent, although with Byram out, and not really an immediate upgrade. I guess it could be there. I'd be a little thrown by it. He's not a forward. I mean, we were having this conversation last year as well. The Sabres needed a top six forward. They still do need a top six forward. It's just a different guy now. Paterka's the one that left last year. This year it's Alex Tuck. I'm just, as we get closer here, Brian, to that pick at 20, I'm with Paul as well. I love the excitement that's going around with the Sabres. I'm enjoying every moment of this, you know, of these last couple of days that we've had where it seems like the Sabres really are at the center of everything. With that all being said, though, and this is why, like, even for Yarmo, like, as much as I want to give him applause, the team was worse than it was in Game 7 right here in the same arena when they lost to Montreal. And now, look, they may have a Byram replacement. He is also an RFA. Like, they have to give him a contract. And I love the young talent, but I don't know if any of them are going to immediately replace Alex Tuck. You do need to do something, I think, to really announce yourself to the NHL.
Real quick to that, Zach, of course, we're creeping closer to pick 20. I did, once the Zellweger trade happened, I did believe at this point, I'm like, I'm happy with the Knight overall already. You can make both selections. I'm not going to be mad because there's an entire free agency period that has to happen as well, Brian. And while free agency is not your end-all, be-all for answers, especially this free agent class in particular, it's time still to make more trades. Robertson, what's going to happen there? RFA status. That means he will talk to anybody and sign with them that he pleases. And who knows if the Sabres aren't quite one of those and maybe they need to stock up on first-round prospects in order for that to happen. Yep. There's your fun tinfoil for the moment, gentlemen.
All right, so Columbus has made their selection, and they just announced it here inside the arena at KeyBank Center. Oscar Hemming, left winger. All right, so St. Louis gets two in a row at 15 and 16, LA 17, Washington 18, Utah 19, and then it's Buffalo at pick 20. We'll take a timeout here. More coming up, including we're going to hear the interview with the newest Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres picked at 4, still going to pick at 20, with Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly down on the floor, Paul Hamilton out in Orchard Park, TJ Luckman producing. I'm Brian Colzio. More of our continuing coverage of the NHL Draft, Night 1, here at KeyBank Center on WGR.
Coverage of the NHL Draft on WGR is being brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods.
Welcome back here, WGR, our continuing coverage of the NHL Draft. Appreciate you being with us. We're live up in the press box. Our coverage brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. We're at pick 15, but we've got a move here. Zach, you want to go with the details?
We do have a move. We've got a few things, actually, we want to get to here. And the big one is St. Louis is getting Anaheim forward Mason McTavish. Elliot Friedman is reporting that it appears it's going to be pick 15 and 29, although that is not officially, does say, I believe in that.
So that means we may be waiting here for the announcement, and then yes, that'll put the Ducks on the clock.
Correct. And now Pierre LeBrun is saying the same thing. It looks like he is going to be traded there. And then we do have an update on the Kirill Merchenko situation. Kevin Weeks reporting maybe 15 minutes or so ago that Merchenko's camp is using the Dorofeev contract, 7 years, $11 million, as sort of their baseline. It seems like Columbus is done, or at least Merchenko is, as Weeks is reporting that Merchenko's camp tells, and this is Weeks, tells me that as of now he's unlikely to resign with the Blue Jackets. I think that would be a really, really fun idea for the Sabres, 25-year-old, and in these last three seasons, 23 goals, 31 goals, and 27 goals.
And as a matter of fact, again, as we are looming closer and closer to pick 20, it seems like more names are being available. There's a trade that is going to be ending up announced here as well at this arena with the McTavish deal. So it looks like, hey, maybe a trade wakes it up. Maybe the Marchenko rumors help with another target, potentially, that the Sabres might be able to go and acquire.
And it does look like now Pierre LeBrun, yes, is saying Anaheim trades Mason McTavish to St. Louis for picks 15 and 29. I assume now we're just going to be waiting for the commissioner to do the what has been the best part of the night, the trade button.
Yeah, up in section 301, they're waiting to hear the button. Yeah, they still at the moment in-house here at KeyBank Center. The Blues logo and graphic is up that it is their selection, but as we just said, there are multiple reporters saying that this pick will ultimately be made by the Anaheim Ducks, Mason McTavish going to St. Louis. The Blues, as Brayton mentioned earlier, had four picks.
They
so
did.
Two of their first, I'm sorry, just in the first round, by the way, I should say.
Yes.
Yes, four in the first round. So 15 and 29. And this makes sense. You have four first-round picks here. Are all four of these players that essentially that you might see entering at the same time? Like, you don't want to have them all, like, at that moment. So you break it up a little via the trade, Derek, here. That's a way to maybe take advantage of you having all these first-round picks.
And that's why, like, you know, if the Sabres end up selecting at four and then trading 20, like, that's, you know, that's everyone fine. Can right. go away happy. And it's kind of the same thing here where, yeah, the Blues have four of them. Throw some picks around. See if someone wants to bite. And St. Louis is going to be able to do that here. For the Sabres and pick 20, you have now all of a sudden a glut of right-handed defensemen. Columbus might be dealing with Werenski and Marchenko. All of a sudden, the Sabres might be in a different market when it comes to talking to Columbus.
That's right. Hey, to lead off next hour, we're going to hear from Daxon Rudolph, the defenseman. Joe Calley down there on the floor just spoke with him, so we're going to have that coming up to start our next hour here as the Sabres are going to be picking a 20. Commissioner Bettman is making his way over to the podium, and so we may be having him give us the details here on this trade upcoming here in the next few moments. So now he's asking for Section 117 to hit the button.
Layla Edwards hitting the button, by the way. First overall pick of the new PWHL franchise in San Jose.
Yes.
Gold medal Olympian.
Using the saber horn now when she pushed that down too as well. The saber goal horn, I should say, with that trade. So, okay, so it is exactly what had been reported. Anaheim trades Mason McTavish to the Blues for pick 15 and 29. So that will put the Ducks on the clock. St. Louis, by the way, still has pick 16. So they're going to get a chance to draft here momentarily within the next few minutes. So the Ducks are now on the clock as we are just about at the halfway point of round number one. All right, we will take a timeout here from KeyBank Center. When we come back, we'll obviously keep you posted on all the picks, all the rumors, Daxon Rudolph's interview coming up, and then the Sabres will pick again at 20. So lots to come here in our next hour as we continue our coverage live from the press box. Brayton Wilson, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Paul Hamilton, TJ Luckman. I'm Brian Colziel. Hope you're enjoying our coverage. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned. More coming up from KeyBank Center right after this timeout on WGR.